Shabbos Daf Chav Ches. So the Mishnah on Daf Chav Zayin had said that anything from a tree doesn't become tame when it's over a corpse, except for flax. Flax can become tame as an ohel when it is covering a corpse. So how do we know that flax does become tame when it's covering a corpse? So Rabbi Lezer answers that we have a gzera shava of ohel ohel, that regarding the covering of the Mishkan, which we know is made out of flax, they called that an ohel. And so too, regarding an ohel by tuma, flax can serve to become that type of tuma as an ohel, because it is called an ohel. However, the Mishkan cover was made of 6 twisted threads. So too, regarding Ohel Tuma, if we're going to compare the Mishkan's cover to the Ohel, then the Ohel Tuma, for something to become Tame as an Ohel, that should also require 6 twisted strands. So Gemara answers that that's why by the Ohel Tuma, it says the word Ohel twice to teach that you don't need the 6 twisted strands. The word Ohel allows for any type of woven material to serve as an Ohel, since it says it twice. However, the Gemara questions, if it says Ohel twice, then why don't we teach that that includes other articles of or other materials, not just flax? Why don't we say Ohel is including all types of materials? So the Gemara answers that we already have the Gzera Shava of Ohel Ohel from Ohel Tuma to the Ohel by the Mishkan talking about the flax, and that's why we limit it only to flax. But now the Gemara brings a new question, that the wooden beams of the Mishkan are also called an Ohel, so therefore they should be included in Ohel Tuma, meaning wooden beams should be able to serve as an Ohel Tuma, because by the Mishkan they called the wooden beams an Ohel. So the Gemara answers, that's why you can't say that, because by the Mishkan it says Vasita et Krashim la Mishkan, that you have to make the Krashim, the wooden beams for the Mishkan. It's teaching that only the Mishkan was called the Mishkan, and Mishkan is interchangeable with Ohel, but not the wooden beams, because it says make the Krashim for the Mishkan. However, based on this logic, we have another question, because the pasuk says Vasita mechseh le'ohel, that you should make the covering for the Ohel. So this implies, meaning for the Mishkan, so this implies that mechseh, the animal hide covering, is not considered an Ohel. So if that's true, based on our logic, that the animal hide covering is not considered an Ohel, then why does Rabbi Elazar ask this question? Can a non-kosher animal hide become tameh from an Ohel or not? If you have a non-kosher animal hide serving to cover over a corpse, will that become tamei or not? So the problem with Rabbi Elazar's question is, if a kosher animal hide from the Mishkan doesn't become tamei, meaning we're teaching that the michseh, the animal hide, was not part of the ohel, and therefore the animal hide cannot become tamei. And obviously we were talking about kosher animal hide because it was being used in the Mishkan. So if the kosher animal hide cannot become tamei, then obviously the non-kosher animal hide doesn't become tamei. So what's your question, Rabbi Lezer? So my answer is no, it's actually different in that case where we were talking about the michseh, because later the pasuk compares the upper covering of the animal hide, meaning the michseh, to the middle covering of the goat's hair. And just like we know the middle covering is called an ohel, so to the upper covering is called an ohel, and therefore the upper covering can also become tame. So going back to Rabbi Elazar's question, can a non-kosher animal hide become tame as an ohel? So the Gemara asks, what's his question? Rav Adbar Ava answers that he's asking about the tachash, which was a certain animal that existed in the days of Moshe, and Moshe used its hide for the cover of the Mishkan. So Rabbi Elazar is asking, was that a kosher or a non-kosher animal? Rav Yosef brings in a brisa and says that, and it's an answer, that you can only use kosher hides for the service of Hashem. So isn't this talking about the Mishkan, and therefore if you can only use kosher animal hides, then the tachash must have been a kosher animal. However, Rav Abba questions this, and he brings in another brisa. Rabbi Yehuda says there were 2 covers of animal hides on the Mishkan. One was a reddened ram's hide, and one was the tachash hide. Rav Nechemia says there was actually only 1 cover. Half of it was made of reddened ram's hide, and half of it was made of the tachash hide, and the tachash resembled the tla ilan, the tala ilan. And the tala ilan is not a kosher animal. So that brisa before that Rav Yosef brought in couldn't have been talking about the Mishkan as it's service of Hashem. It must have been talking about some other service of Hashem, because we see clearly that tameh hides, non-kosher hides, were used in the Mishkan. So we answer no. The tachash was not like etzla ilan, meaning that it was unkosher. It means that the tachash resembled the tla ilan because it was colorful, not that it was a non-kosher animal. And that's why Rav Yosef says, that's why we translate the word tachash as sasgavna, meaning to rejoice in being so colorful. Rava says, no, this is the proof that non-kosher hides can become tame. The Brisa says that the pasuk could have said or, which would have taught only kosher animals, but instead the pasuk says obeor, which teaches that non-kosher animal hides can also become tame from saras. And also we learn from that a hide that got saras after it was examined by the kohen can still become tame of saras. And the word obechol melachas or teaches that if you cut up pieces from all the different garments that are listed in the pasuk of all the different materials, and you made one garment out of all these different materials, it is susceptible to tzaras. But the point of this brisa is that it doesn't differentiate between kosher and non-kosher animal hides regarding tzaras. Obeor teaches that both kosher and non-kosher animal hides can get tzaras. However, the Gemara questions this, saying you can't compare tzaras to the ohel tuma because tzaras has the stringency of making warp and woof tame, and therefore that's why tzaras can make non-kosher hides tame because it already has the stringency. So we answer, rather we learn ohel tuma, that it applies to non-kosher animal hides from a sheretz, from the dead bugs. So we have a brace that says or would have taught only kosher animal hides can become tummy from a sheretz. Or teaches that non-kosher animal hides can also become tummy from a sheretz, and we see here that there's no difference between kosher and non-kosher animals regarding their hides for becoming tummy as noel. However, the Gemara says also again that you can't compare a sheretz to an ohel tuma because the sheretz, the dead bug, has the stringency of making something tummy even when it's only the size of a lentil. So the Gemara answers, we clearly can't learn it from tzaras or sheretz because each of them have their own stringencies. They're both very different. However, they're tzad hashaveh. There's a common argument throughout the Gemara, a common logical approach throughout the Gemara. The tzad hashaveh, which is the common characteristic of both of them, is that they both don't differentiate between a kosher and a non-kosher animal hide. Therefore, we can extend the tzad hashaveh, this common characteristic, to an ohel tuma and say that it doesn't differentiate whether or not it's a kosher or a non-kosher animal hide. However, Rav Ami Barnes has a problem with this, and he says to Rav Ashi that you can't compare with this Sada Sheva because both Sheretz and Saras have another stringency that both of them make something tummy even when they're less than a kezias. However, by a corpse won't make something tummy unless it's at least a kezias. So maybe the reason that saras and sheretz make things tummy, make non-kosher animal hides tummy, is because of this stringency, and therefore we can't extend that to ohel tuma. So rather, Rav Ami Barnes answers that we learn that a non-kosher animal hide can become tummy when it's above a corpse through a kava chomer from a cloth made of goat's hair. Just like a cloth made of goat's hair doesn't become tummy from saras, but it does become tame as an ohel if it's above a corpse, all the more so by non-kosher animal hides, which can become tame from saras, then all the more so they should be able to get tame as an ohel, and that is where we learn it from. So, but now the Gemara brings up a new question. If non-kosher animal hides can become tame as an ohel, then what's the brisa of Rav Yosef, who says that the only hides that were fit for service of Hashem are kosher hides? What's that coming to teach? Because if we know that non-kosher hides were able to be used in the Mishkan, then how can Rav Yosef say in this Brisa that they were not allowed to be used in the Mishkan, right? So what does this mean? So really, this Brisa is not talking about the Mishkan, it's talking about the parchments of the tefillin, that they have to be made out of kosher hides. However, we already know this in the pasuk of Leman Tiyah Torah Hashem Beficha, the Torah of Hashem should be in your mouth, and this teaches, we learn from this that tefillin can only be written in something that's fit for your mouth, meaning it has to be a kosher animal. And if we have such a clear proof, then the Brisa that Rav Yosef was bringing, if it was talking about the parchments of tefillin, should have included this pasuk. So rather, the Brisa is teaching that the leather boxes of the tefillin have to be made out of kosher animals. However, Abaye says that the shin that protrudes from the boxes of the tefillin is a halacha l'Moshe miSinai, and since the shin is considered Torah, then the box has to be made on kosher leather because of the pasuk of the Torah of Hashem. Should be in your mouth, meaning that has to be kosher. So again, the Brisa should have brought up this teaching if we were talking about the boxes of tefillin. So we answer that the Brisa is talking about that you have to wrap the tefillin parchments with their own hair, meaning with a kosher animal, and you have to sew the boxes shut with their own sinews, again, meaning from a kosher animal. However, this also is halacha l'Moshe miSinai, because we have a Brisa that says the tefillin boxes being square is halacha l'Moshe miSinai, and being wrapped in their own hair and sewn with their own sinews, again, is halacha l'Moshe miSinai. So the Brisa should have brought this up if that's what the Brisa was referring to. to. So we answer that the Braisa is talking about the straps of the tefillin have to be from a kosher animal. However, Rav Yitzchak says that the straps being black is halacha l'Moshe Mitzinai. So again, why isn't the Braisa bring this up? Because it's not true. The fact that the straps have to be black, that is halacha l'Moshe Mitzinai, but the fact that the straps have to be a kosher animal is not halacha l'Moshe Mitzinai, so therefore we need this Braisa to teach us that. So at the end of the day, going back to our question, what was the tachash? Was it a kosher animal, not kosher animal? Rav Meir answers that the tachash was a unique creature. The Chachamim don't know if it's a behema, meaning a domesticated animal, or a chaya, a wild animal. It has a single horn in its forehead, and it presented itself to Moshe when he needed to use it for the Mishkan cover. And now it's hidden. Sounds a little bit like a unicorn, single horn in its forehead, the hidden now, I don't know. And from the fact that it was horned, we learn from that we know that all horned animals are kosher, even if they only have one horn. And we learn that all horned animals, even if they only have one horn, are kosher from Rabbi Yehuda, who says that the bull that Adam brought as a karbon, Adam Rishon brought, had only one horn, because the pasuk says, Mishur par makrin mafris, the bull horned and hooved, which implies that it had one horn. However, the word makrin implies that it has two horns, it's plural. So Rav Nachman Yitzchak says, don't read it as makrin, rather read it as mikaren, meaning singular horn. However, if the tachash only has one horn, then we can say that means it's a behema, because it's the same as Adam's bull that he brought, which is a behema. Just like the tachash had one horn, so too Adam's bull had one horn, and we can just assume that it's a behema. Why was there such a doubt? The Gemara answers, the reason they had a doubt is because there exists an animal called a keresh, which is a single-horned deer, and we know that the keresh is a chaya, a wild animal, so we weren't sure, is the tachash like the bull that Adam brought as a behema, or is it a type of keresh, meaning it's a chaya? The next Mishnah says that if you have a wick that's made of garment, that you folded but you didn't singe. They used to singe their wicks so they would be charred and easier to light. Rabbi Lezer says it cannot become tame, and you can't light that it can become tame and you can't light your Shabbos candles with it. Rabbi Lezer says it can become tame and you don't light your Shabbos candles with it. Rabbi Akiva says that it's cannot become tamei, and you can light with it. So the Gemara questions this. So this is the machlokas for the tumah, right? Rabbi Lezer holds that folding does not negate its status as a garment, and therefore it's still considered a garment, even though it was folded, so it can become tamei. Rabbi Akiva holds that folding does negate its status as a garment, so therefore it's not a garment anymore, so it cannot become tamei. But why are they arguing about the Shabbos candles is the Gemara's question. So the Reb Oshia and Reb Adbar Ava answer that this case is talking about a cloth that's exactly 3x3 finger breadths, and you're lighting the candles on Yontiv that went into Shabbos. They both agree with Reb Yehuda, who says that you can fuel a fire with whole utensils on Yontiv, but not with pieces of utensils that broke on Yontiv. Again, they also both agree with Ula that you need to light the majority of the wick that protrudes from the oil for Shabbos candles. So Reb Elazar holds that if folding is not considered a change from its garment status, then as soon as you light part of the wick, it's going to be just a piece of a utensil because it's less than 3x3 finger breadths. And then you would have to light the rest of the wick according to Ula. And then, based on Rabbi Huda, you're going to be lighting part of the utensil that broke on Yontiv, and that is Usser, which is why Rabbi Lezer doesn't allow it. However, Rabbi Akiva holds that folding it does change it from a garment status, so it's just like lighting a stick of wood, nothing more. Rav Yosef brings in a Braisa as proof that the Braisa says this Mishnah is dealing with cloth that's exactly 3x3 finger breadths, and this is a proof to our explanation of the Mishnah. So if Adbar Ava, who said that the Machlokas is going according to Rabbi Huda, that you can't burn broken utensils on Yontiv, so him saying that implies that Rabbi Adbar Ava holds like Rabbi Yehuda. But Rav Adbar Ava says that if a non-Jew carved out from a Jew's log, he carved a piece out, then you're allowed to burn with that on Yontiv. However, this is a broken utensil. This is a utensil that was broken on Yontiv. So how can Rav Adbar Ava allow it if he holds like Rabbi Yehuda? So the answer is Rav Adbar Ava does not actually hold like Rabbi Yehuda, but he just brought in Rabbi Yehuda to be able to explain Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Elazar, but he himself, again, does not agree with Rabbi Yehuda. Shkayach.